Can we turn in our Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 2? And let's unite our hearts at the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come to crown thee Lord of all tonight, and we pray that we might do that. O God, we thank thee for the fact that thou art the mighty Saviour. O God, we realize what thou hast done by coming to the cross of Calvary. And our Father, as we seek to proclaim the gospel message tonight, pray that it might strike home and strike true. Lord, tonight, bless and undertake for us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to look at verses 9 and 10 of this portion of Scripture. Then said his wife unto him, that's unto Job, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. I want to particularly draw your attention to the words of Job's wife there. She said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now, many of you will know the story of the book of Job, how the Job, or the Lord rather, was, or the devil came into the presence of the Lord, and the Lord challenged the devil, hast thou considered mine servant Job? Spoke about the integrity and the uprightness and the godliness of Job, the man of God. And the devil said to the Lord, well, he says this is all because of the blessings you give him. He says in chapter 1, if you look at it, he says, hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil says, if you take away his blessings, if you take away his comfortable lifestyle that you've given him, he'll curse you to your face. And the word curse there is a word that means to blaspheme. It's one of the meanings of it. And the devil was suggesting that perhaps that Job would blaspheme God if he took away his benefits. It also has the meaning to issue imprecations or curses. Perhaps the devil thought that Job would give the Lord a mouthful if he took away his blessings. Or many of the commentators, the old commentators, some of them anyway, have translated that, say goodbye to God, say farewell to God, and die. And here he was under this desire to say farewell, or pressure to say farewell. In other words, the devil thought that Job would renounce God, would say goodbye to God. And so the Lord let the devil put Job to the test over that. And the devil was allowed to take away much of Job's wealth and also all of his children. In one day, Job lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 8,000 oxen, 500 asses, and last and sorest of all, 7 sons and 3 daughters. What a day in Job's life that was, when he nearly lost everything he had, all in the space of a few hours. And what a calamity it was for Job if there was any occasion in which a man could have just got down and cursed God and said farewell to God. Job had that occasion. But Job didn't do it. See, the devil was wrong. Job wouldn't say goodbye to God. He wouldn't curse God. Indeed, he uttered those wonderful words at the end of chapter 1. If you look at chapter 1, verse 21, he says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says in verse 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. But then the devil wasn't given up, because he came back again. At least he came into the presence of God. And the Lord said to him, have you considered my servant Job? He still retained his integrity. And the devil said, well, what you need to do now is take away his health. He says, well, it's one thing. He's lost all these possessions of his, even his family. But if you take away his health, he says, put forth now thine hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And so the Lord allowed the devil to do that. And the devil smote him with sore boils from the top of his head to the foot, the sole of his foot. And there was an awful disease that's breaking out upon him. And when it speaks about boils there, it's really referring to an awful disease. A stinking disease that was upon him. But Job still didn't say goodbye to God. He still wouldn't curse God. He spoke to his wife there, and he said that he wouldn't say goodbye. It says that he sat down upon among the ashes, but he still wouldn't say farewell to God. And so the devil tried another tactic. He got Job's wife. And Job's wife here was watching all that was going on, and she was looking at her godly husband sitting there with all the sickness upon him, and it seems that she just broke, and she just said to Job, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Just say farewell to God, Job. Just renounce God. Just say goodbye, God. And of course, Job didn't do it, because Job was a child of God, and no true child of God will say goodbye to God. And the Lord knew that. That's why he allowed the temptation to take place in the first place. But it is sad to say that there are many people in this day and generation who do say goodbye to God. Maybe under the affliction. Maybe in some sad circumstances or similar experience in their lives. And they have been pushed, as it were, to the limit. And they've come to the place where they've just said goodbye, God. Farewell to God. And sometimes you speak to people and they tell you or speak about the things of God, and they will flare up in anger against you. And if you go down to the very bottom of what they is wrong with them, you'll find that there's some traumatic experience in their lives. And really what they have said is, goodbye God. No more God. No more religion. No more of these things. And men and women, if there are any of you here and you've sat under the sound of the Word of God for a long time and has even crossed your mind to say goodbye to God, I just say to you, don't do it. Don't do it. Because it will leave you lost and undone for all eternity. I want us to think about Job here for a few minutes. Here he is, under pressure to say farewell to God. And I just want you to think about his case here in a few minutes at the end of our meeting. Notice first of all the challenge he faced. See, Job here was pushed to the limits. He was a man who had lost his possessions, his son, his daughter. Now, it would have been an awful thing if he just lost all his possessions. You can try to imagine that. If he had lost even one of his children, who can imagine the awful sadness of a child lost? But to have 10 children and you lose every one of them, to lose every one of them, that is nothing short of tragic. And here was Job, and he was under pressure, and he was facing pressure from his wife. And there's no sorrow that is so sore as a sorrow that comes in the family. And his wife just comes and she pushes him. Job, just forget about God. Just forget about God. And you know, there are many people who have come in situations like that. And they've just said goodbye. You know, it was no time to make a decision. There he was, and he was in grief. There he was, and his health had gone. It was no time to make a decision. But I want to tell you, men and women, that the devil doesn't play fair. He will use any opportunity. He will use any circumstance in order to get you to deny God, to turn you away from the gospel. He will not fight fair in the battle for souls, and he will certainly use any occasion that he can to try and harden you against the things of God. And there are many people, when they haven't been thinking straight, have just turned away from the things of God. Maybe when you lost a loved one, were you brought to the place of anger? Were you brought to the place where you just were feeling that God had done something against you? It wasn't fair. Maybe you got down in inconsolable grief. And there's many a person in inconsolable grief who have turned their backs upon the things of God and said, goodbye. No more religion, no more church for me. No more reading the scriptures, no more prayer for me. Maybe in the midst of your murmuring, your unconsolable grief, you just said, farewell. And here was Job, and that was the pressure he was under. Maybe you have faced serious illness in the past, and you wondered why God would bring you there. Maybe it is just that you look out upon the world and the awful tragedies. We're able to travel across the world now, and we're able to go to places where there's famine and see people that are living in more dire circumstances than we are living in. And maybe you've looked at the disasters on the news and all these things, and the devil is saying to you, where is God in the middle of all that? Of course, the reason for all those things is sin, because there weren't any disasters, and there was no poverty, and there was no death, and there was no illness before the sin entered in the Garden of Eden. But the devil's not interested in truth. The devil is not interested in showing you the truth of these things. He will pervert and he will divert you and will use you and twist you and take advantage of your grief, take advantage of your difficulties, take advantage of your affliction and twist you to try and make you say goodbye to God. And here's a man who was under pressure. You see the pressure of the challenge here. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel the pressure in your soul. The devil is coming and speaking to you. What about this religion, this church and all the rest of it? What have I to do with that sort of thing? And you notice not only the pressure of the challenge, but the persistence of the challenge. For the devil came back again and again and again and again. When he didn't succeed the first time and Job would not curse God, he came back and he said, well, just hurt his health. And when he wouldn't do that, he took hold of his wife and came into an unknowing alliance with the devil. I think perhaps that that's why the devil spared Job's wife in the first place. When he caused the death of all the other parts of the family, his sons and his daughter, why did he spare Job's wife? To use her. And the devil will come back again. And again, and again, and again, and he's not going to give up. If you are in any way interested in the gospel, the devil's not going to give up on you. He's on your case. He's on your tail. But how many are there who have been brought to the place where they've given up on God because of a husband or a wife or a girlfriend or a boyfriend? I remember hearing a testimony. And if I remember rightly, the man later became a pastor. But the man, he was sitting in a gospel meeting with his wife one time. And as the gospel was preached, he could see that his wife was under conviction of sin. And at the end of the meeting, there was an appeal made at the end of the meeting. If anybody wanted to get saved, they would show their hands so that they would show that they were in earnest about getting saved, or that they wanted to be prayed for. And he could see that his wife was about to put up her hand. And he said to his wife, if you get saved tonight, that's you and me finished. And there are many people who have been put under pressure like that. Thank God that she did get saved, and later her husband also got saved. And if I remember it right, he became a pastor in the church. There's been many a one who has said, if you get saved, that's you and me finished. Say goodbye to God. The devil can use your partner, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, can use that as a means of keeping you away from God and saying farewell to the Lord. And so we see the pressure here that he was under, and the persistence of the pressure, and we see the challenge he faced. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the confession he made. Because as he was under this pressure to say goodbye, Job, instead of saying goodbye, made a confession of his faith, really. If you look at verse 10, you'll see what he said. He said to his wife, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Later in Job 13, we read that Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Now there's Job's confession. You notice that he believed there in the sovereignty of God. He believed that the Lord had a right to bring hardships into his life as well as blessings in his life. And he believed that he needed to submit to God. And you see this man here, he just submits to the will and the way of God. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He knew that the Lord was on the throne, and what he had to do was just bow and worship that God. Whatever he might do, whatever he might do, "Lord, you have charge of my life." That's a man who is saved. Now, you need the Lord to take charge of your life. Whatever he may be. Now, you have had charge of your life, and what a mess you've made of it. But thank God that the Lord, when he takes charge of your life, brings you to blessing. Now, like Job, it doesn't guarantee that there won't be hard days and difficult days, but all things, the Bible says, work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And if you know the story of Job, you know at the very end, God gives Job twice as much as he had before. My, thank God, the Lord brings those that are saved and makes them citizens of heaven and brings them to himself. And the person that really trusts in God is a person that is willing to give their life into the hand of God. Now that's what's wrong with you tonight. You won't give your life into the hand of God. You've never come to the point where you said, "Lord, take my life. Take all that I have. Whatever you want for me, whatever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, Lord, you are mine and I am yours." You've got to commit yourself into the hand of God. And this man here, he believed in the sovereignty of God. He also believed in the salvation of God. Because you notice what he says in that verse. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Now what does that tell me? It tells me that he believed in something after death. He says, "Even if he slays me, I'll trust him. If he brings me to death, I know there's something more beyond that." It reminds me of the Apostle Paul who said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." How could it be gain if there wasn't something beyond death? And thank God there's multitudes, innumerable blessings that are to the hand of those that are saved beyond death. Paul said in the same chapter, "For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He wanted to stay and preach, but he said, "Beyond this, there's something far better. Something that's far better." And he says, "I trust him. I trust him no matter what." The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Men, women, will you trust him? Will you trust this God? I'm not directing you to denomination. I'm not directing you to myself. I'm not directing you to a system of doctrine. I'm directing you to the Lord. The Lord who loves. The Lord of glory. I'm glad that Job was able to make a confession like that. And I know, men and women, that life may be difficult and life may be harsh at times. But the Bible calls us to confess the Savior. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Will you confess him like Job? Will you come to the place where you confess him? Don't say goodbye to God. You see, men, women, by your continual rejection of him, you can say goodbye to God. The Bible says that he that hath been often reproved hardeneth his neck. shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. And when you're suddenly cut off, that's goodbye. That's farewell. That's the end of the day of grace. That's the end of every opportunity you've ever had. And by rejecting God, you can be just saying goodbye to God. You can say farewell to your last opportunity, your last gospel opportunity to get right with God. Don't take the risk. Don't take the risk. Job near knew here that though he slew him, though God slew him, there was something better. There was blessings that went beyond even the very place of death. That's what God gives. That's what God bestows. And I ask you tonight, will you confess the Lord even as Job did? We see the confession he made. But then notice the commendation he received. Because the Lord was able to say of Job, if you look at verse 3 of Job chapter 2, you see what the Lord says of Job. He says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity?" And then, woman, at the end of the day, that's really all that matters, what God says about you. You might want others to look upon you as a good person. You might want others to look up to you and say that that's a reliable person. They might have respect to you, give you honor in some degree and measure. But at the end of the day, it really only matters what God says about you. You know, we're told about the day to come when the Lord will examine the people. Those that are walking with him, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But then he speaks about others who will come, and he pronounces verdict upon them and say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And there are those that God will say goodbye to. God will say goodbye one day. See, if you continue to say goodbye to God, isn't it only right and fair that God might say goodbye to you? There are many people and they wonder about a God who would put people into hell. But dear man or woman, if that's what you want, if that's what you want, if you just want to say goodbye to God, if you just continue all on the way to hell, isn't that what you want? And if God says goodbye to you someday, won't it be your own doing? Won't it be a fate of your own making? If God says goodbye, and you notice the consequences of saying goodbye to God. Job's wife told Job, she says, "Curse God and die." And Job's wife obviously realized that if Job cursed God, he would die. Now, Job wouldn't do it. Job didn't do it. And we believe in the perseverance of the saints, and we want to make that clear. But say, for the sake of argument, that Job had cursed God, what would happen? He would die. Because in the Old Testament law, that was the penalty of cursing God. In Leviticus 24 and verse 16, it says, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him." It was a death sentence upon those that cursed God. Not only a physical death sentence, but an eternal death sentence. To be all eternity without God. To be all eternity without our Savior and His blessing. Sir Ludovic Kennedy was a broadcaster, or is a broadcaster. I'm not sure whether did he die last year? I'm not sure of that. But anyway, it's not that long since he wrote a book. And it was called All in the Mind, A Farewell to God. And he wrote that book. He said, well, God's in the mind. And I'll just say, farewell, God. Now, when you think of that, he will remember that verdict throughout all eternity. He will remember that throughout all the countless ages and eons of eternity to come. I said farewell to God. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake, dear man or woman. Don't let those words haunt you or your actions haunt you. Come to my Savior. Solomon said, yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. If you come to him, you'll find in him all that you need. You'll find in him rest. You'll find in him hope. You'll find in him peace. If you come to him. Say hello to God tonight. Say hello to the Savior. Say hello to peace. Say hello to heaven. Say hello to blessing. Say hello to those things. Don't say goodbye to God. Because this might be your goodbye tonight. It might be your goodbye. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Trust him right now. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. And I ask you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus tonight. Job's wife said to her husband, curse God and die. Say farewell to God. Don't do it. Don't do that. Would you come tonight and accept him as your Savior? Our gracious God and our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We bless thee for the fact that Job was able to declare and confess the fact that no matter what God would do, he would trust him. And our Father, we pray tonight that others might do the same. And Lord, that despite all their circumstances and all that they face, O God, we pray that they might turn to thee and find thee whom to know is life eternal. We pray that there may be none here to whom God will wave goodbye in a day to come, separated from God for all eternity, the fate of the lost. O God, have mercy tonight and save precious souls for Jesus' sake. Amen.